Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Charlie Turner in New York, and this is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. Neuralink, the startup founded by Elon Musk, says it's made an important advance in a brain-computer interface, a device that could be used to treat neurological conditions such as spinal cord injury. We'll have more on this from the Wall Street Journal's Daniela Hernandez. First, here are some tech headlines. Netflix's stock tumbled after hours Wednesday after the video streaming service badly missed estimates for new subscribers. Netflix said that in the second quarter, it added 2.7 million paid subscribers globally, way below the expected 5.3 million. The company blamed a lack of fresh programming content during the quarter. It lost about 130,000 domestic subscriptions from the first quarter. Its revenue was also weaker than expected. Netflix is bracing for heightened competition in the coming months, particularly from Walt Disney, Apple, and HBO owner AT&T, which are all launching their own streaming services. As a result, rivals are starting to take content away from Netflix, including the streaming service's two most-watched shows, The Office and Friends. IBM reported a mixed quarter late Wednesday. Its revenue fell 4% from the year-ago quarter, the fourth straight quarterly decline. Big Blue's profit, however, topped estimates. IBM has trailed Microsoft and Amazon.com as customers race to do more of their computing in the cloud, online services that free companies from the need to buy and maintain their own computers. As competitors report consistently strong revenue growth buoyed by sales of their cloud services, IBM has absorbed a string of declines. Uber got some bad news from down under. It will no longer be able to charge restaurants in Australia for delivery mishaps outside their control. The ride-hailing company's food delivery arm, Uber Eats, will amend its contracts by the end of the year after Australia's competition watchdog determined the contracts with restaurants were unfair. The contracts gave Uber Eats the right to refund customers and deduct that amount from the restaurant, even if a delivery problem wasn't the restaurant's fault and food had already been picked up by a courier.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they've created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Eno catches over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, and then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Elon Musk and his Neuralink startup have unveiled what they bill as a significant advance in their development of a brain-computer interface. Neuralink has been developing the technology for 2 years and says the device would connect human brains and machines with more precision than other available devices. The goal is to use the platform to treat neurological conditions such as movement disorder, spinal cord injury, and blindness. Daniela Hernandez wrote the story for The Wall Street Journal and joins us now. Daniela, Musk and Neuralink held an event earlier this week. They didn't actually unveil a device, but described what this interface would be. And it's a robot that looks like a sewing machine, if I'm not mistaken.
So that's one of the components, the sewing machine-like robot. And what it does is that it inserts these tiny threads or electrodes into the brains of rats. They say that they've also tested the device in monkeys, but they didn't show any data on that. So that's one component of the technology that they're building, that sewing machine.
And the computers would analyze the neuron activity?
Right. So there are these, you can think of them as like tiny wires that go into the brain, and they collect the activity of neurons, brain cells in the brain, as they fire and shuttle information to and from. And that information gets uploaded or sent to a chip that then analyzes that information. And it's in that analysis that all the richness of brain activity can be decoded for translating that into motion or speech or other things that might help patients who have neurological conditions.
And Musk, of course, the CEO of Tesla, the electric vehicle maker, he said that in an experiment, a monkey was able to control a computer with its brain.
That is all that was said.
Yeah.
It came as a surprise to the people who were there, to the scientists. I don't think that they were expecting him to say that, but That's all the details we have at this point.
It's Musk.
I asked for more details, and they said no comment.
Neuralink is putting together a submission to the Food and Drug Administration to start testing the device on humans. I assume they have a ways to go before that happens.
They say they want to have their first human implanted sometime early next year. There's always roadblocks to getting these kinds of technologies into humans. I think people are going to be careful, to say the least. So, you know, it remains to be seen. We'll see what happens.
The best way to do this type of activity is through, you know, some sort of invasive procedure. I'm sure there are concerns about that.
Well, the technology is invasive. So there's two kinds. There are several kinds, but there's two main camps of neural interfaces. One is something that goes into the brain or an invasive device, and then there's something else that's called non-invasive that goes just on top of the brain or, you know, on your hands, something that records activity from above the skin. And the regulatory pathway for that to go to market is much simpler. If you are actually penetrating the skin, if you're penetrating the skull, people are going to look more carefully at that for sure. And that's what Musk wants to build.
Talk about the safety concerns of essentially inserting something like this into the brain.
Well, the brain, even though we think of it as really stable, actually moves a lot in your skull. And so just think about like tiny needles being in there, like moving and jostling. It can create a lot of damage. So scientists at Neuralink and other companies and labs are thinking very carefully about how to maintain these electrodes in the brain in a way that's safe over a long period of time. If you're going to insert something like this device into a patient's brain, you want to make sure that it's there safely, not just for weeks or months, but for years, if not decades.
But obviously, this is not going to be haphazard. Have they found ways to strategically insert these threads in there?
They can strategically insert them very carefully, they say, to the like very precise locations. But how they move and whether they cause inflammation locally, that data wasn't really reported. They say they're doing the experiments, but it remains to be seen.
Neuralink is not the only company working on neural interfaces. I mean, there are several other companies and other agencies.
There's a lot of labs around the country and around the world that are working on this at, you know, every stage from like just very basic research to things that they hope will go into humans at one point in time. There's a flurry of companies that are coming into this space because of new funding, both public and private. And like I said, there's several approaches there. Some of these startups are building things that will go into the brain itself, and there are others that are not. They're building interfaces that are non-invasive.
As far as a long-term goal is concerned, this device is inserted into somebody's brain. Let's say the person is paralyzed in a wheelchair. Is one of the goals to get this type of person to walk?
I mean, in the very long term, yeah, they want to tackle really debilitating diseases. There's a lot to be done before that happens. As I note in the story, one of the really important things to do is to basically translate that pattern of signals, of brain signals, into actions, into things that the brain controls. And that translation is really, really, really difficult.
Isn't this thing also thought to be targeted for elective surgery as well?
They want this to be, they said, like something like LASIK,
yeah,
where it's not thought of as this really invasive procedure, even though it is. But they want it to be something that could, I guess, augment humans in some way as a means to, as Musk and other Silicon Valley entrepreneurs say, you know, give us a good chance of surviving in a world of artificial intelligence where AIs will be more intelligent than us. And so this is a way to mitigate that, I guess.
Wall Street Journal reporter Daniela Hernandez, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And that's Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.